What's up, everybody? Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. I'm Will Pruitt, and I'm here to chat with you today about TNA Impact Wrestling. Today is April 26, 2013. Yesterday was when Impact was April 25th, 2013. This was a live show from the Kovalchik Convention and Athletic Complex in Indiana, Pennsylvania. So, TNA running another kind of small outside town as opposed to a bigger town. I should apologize right off the bat for any yard work noises you hear in the background. They, around my apartment complex, are just chopping down everything. Lots of power tools that are quite disturbing during the day. I tried to put off recording until they were done and did not get that, did not accomplish that goal, and I'm now recording. Heck, it's like 3:30 on the East Coast for you people. I don't get it. So, let's talk about Impact. Not the most exciting show. I feel like, it was kind of a nostalgic kick for me. It's weird on this show to see them. The ending was something straight out of Nitro in 1997, down to the people participating. Like, down to Sting and the way he appeared. And I feel like there are two ways that they are replicating the Sting storyline from 1997. One is, you know, AJ Styles watching as the Aces and Eights run wild and attack people and, you know, kind of getting this feeling that AJ Styles is the one who can bring vengeance, but he hasn't done it yet. So that's the first way that I feel like I'm watching Nitro from 1997. The second way is the way the show closed, with Sting showing up out of the darkness and beating up the whole faction of people with his baseball bat and it being a huge deal, and it's almost the exact same thing. Like, down to Mike Tenay calling the action. Like, what freaking year is this? Is what I was asking as I watched this show. Nothing on this show was very compelling. Nothing on this show was dynamic. This is one of those episodes of Impact that I said, wow, they really could have used a good match. Or, wow, they really could have used a good segment that drove things home. And they didn't get that. There were two people who had face-to-face confrontations with Hulk Hogan, Matt Morgan and Bully Ray, and they were in two separate segments. And I feel like even in those two separate segments, neither one was all that effective. Guys, if this is where TNA is going, if the idea is, oh, Sting versus Bully Ray at Slammiversary, hey, that's not going to be a good match. Bully Ray's good, but he's not that good. Sting is bad in the ring right now. He's fine. I don't mind the nostalgia kick of seeing Sting wrestle. Like, that doesn't irritate me all that much. What irritates me is it's Sting wrestling in the main event for the title. That I don't need to see that anymore. Those days are done. Same thing with, you know, same thing, you know, Bully Ray, I like what he's doing, but there are no quality opponents for him right now. TNA is in a weird, weird spot. And I thought that things would get better with the progression of the Aces and Eights storyline. But in a way, they just kind of have faded away or gotten worse. And it's sad to see it. It's sad to have to say it, because I want TNA to do well. I know that, you know, people on the internet have a reputation, and a lot of people think, oh, well, they don't want TNA to succeed. That's not it. People in TNA should know that's not it. I want TNA to succeed. I watch this product on a weekly basis. I want it to be good. But it's not. It's not good right now. It's not compelling. It's not decent. It's not exciting. So, I'm just, I don't know. Let's go through this show and talk about it. But before we do, let's talk about ProWrestling.net real quick. It's a phenomenal website. I was a big fan of the website, actually. Before I started writing for the website, I'd go to it every day, check it on my phone, check it on my computer. I was a paying .net member. Some of our writers still are paying .net members. Jeffrey Lutz. But it's a quality website. You get your wrestling. You can get all your wrestling news you need. Great sources. Jason Powell, one of the most well-connected guys in the wrestling media. Great sources. We don't BS you. We don't push agendas on you. We are just a quality website. Great audio. .NET Weekly with Jason Powell and Chris Shore, going through the news every week. The .NET Countdown with myself and Jake Barnett, talking about the top five and bottom three moments in wrestling every week. You get the You get the .NET Q&A with Jason Powell answering your wrestling and non-wrestling questions. You get recaps of Raw, Impact, and SmackDown on a weekly basis. No matter what, you're going to get that audio. And that's just the regular weekly audio, plus every pay-per-view we do audio for, sometimes preview audios. And then there's occasional interviews. We've recently had Court Bauer on the site, former WWE creative team member. Chris Shore has done a series of interviews with a lot of wrestlers on the indies that are just phenomenal. From the indies, you have like Kevin Steen, Mike Bennett, Maria, like big names. We provide you with excellent coverage of wrestling, excellent coverage of wrestling news, and hell, we have fun doing it. You get various voices on the site. Myself, Jason Powell, Chris Shore, Jake Barnett, Ryan Kester, Jeffrey Lutz, Aaron Gutteridge, Zach Zimmerman, great voices, people who love wrestling and have varied opinions. We're not a generic internet think tank. We all have our own opinions and we're not afraid to express them. Often we disagree. Often you'll see blogs that kind of conflict each other on the site that were inspired by each other in a way. We have a lot of fun doing this, and we hope you have fun listening to this stuff and checking it out. If you just check out the regular website, prowrestling.net, you may not know this, but there is an ad. You can get ad-free access to the site, access to the .NET members forum, and access to all of that audio I mentioned just by going to prowrestling.net and clicking the membership link on the right-hand side of the page for as low as $5.50 a month if you take one of the long-term options, annual or six-month. You can have access to the site if you just want to try it out for a month and see if it's for you. $7.50 for that first month, and we really are proud of the product we present, and we think that if you take the time to check it out, you're going to like it as well. So that's my .NET membership pitch. Let's get into the show now. They opened with a recap of Hulk Hogan and Bully Ray and just all of that stuff. We did see, you know, previously on Impact, Bully Ray stole the TNA championship. We saw the replay of the heel turn again. I know it's a moment TNA's proud of, and I'm glad they kept it just down to one replay on this show, but it made me smile that they did it again, because I've been complaining about the constant replays of that moment for a while. James Storm made his entrance. They recapped AJ Styles winning his match with the Calf Killer. He's killing calves! Not like, you know, baby animals, but actual calves, like, on your body. They should make that distinction. It's a very important distinction to make. Basically, James Storm comes out, AJ Styles comes out, he's standing in the crowd, and then Bad Influence comes out. And Kazarian and Daniels propose a reformation of Fortune. And what this kind of feels like to me is the idea that they had with the Main Event Mafia reforming to take on Immortal in January 2011. If you remember that, but then Kevin Nash and Booker T showed up in WWE and kind of put that to a halt. So it's kind of a very different, you know, it's kind of just the thing that TNA likes to do, and it's one of those things that they really want to do at some point, to tell that story of a faction getting back together to fight another faction. And in their defense, they have access to every part of Fortune but Ric Flair, who is kind of the least important part of Fortune in a way, so that's okay. Basically, Fortune wants to reform to take on Aces and Eights. You had Storm, without Storm, by the way. They don't want Storm there. So then you had Storm and Daniels and Kazarian fighting. Then the Aces and Eights ran out. Then Joseph Park ran out, and they 3D'd Joseph Park through a table. That's how that happened. And, you know, the Dudleys did the 3D for the first time in who knows how long on TV, and that was kind of a big deal. So it was chaos. It was messy. It didn't accomplish much. And maybe that's my issue with this show. It was chaotic, and it was messy, and it wasn't great, and it didn't accomplish anything, really. So Joseph Park does the stretcher job out of the arena. The announcers check in. Then we got a highlight video. Taryn Terrell versus Tara was up next. We actually got two knockouts matches on this show, which is worth noting. They seem to be going in the direction of pushing the knockouts a little more. At least that's the impression I got from having two knockouts matches on one show. It's not a common thing for TNA to do, that's for sure. So we got two knockouts matches here. Taryn Terrell versus Tara was the first one. Oh, and Hulk Hogan was shown returning to the building. So they start the show off going, Hulk Hogan may not even be here. Then they just like, oh, by the way, Hulk's here. You're chill. Instead of building up the drama for the moment when Hulk comes back. I don't understand that. Again, it's chaos. It's kind of dumb. So Hulk, now he's in the building. They're doing this whole thing. Then we had a Taryn Terrell versus Tara. An okay match. Taryn Terrell sells really well. That's something I like. She sells, you know, not like, she's not like Shawn Michaels in there or anything, but she sells well. She's convincing. I don't know about her current character. The whole hot mess thing she's doing is a little meh, but I like the way she sells. I like what Taryn Terrell is giving us right now, and I think it's doable. I mean, she's a pretty girl, too, and that doesn't hurt anything. It definitely helps her character and just who she is, that she can sell well. She's, you know, a babyface. Tara beat her down for a while. Taryn Terrell ended up rolling her up for the win. 6:28, so a relatively long match, too. ODB was the Knockouts ref. She's the Knockouts ref permanently now, and I guess that's the thing. I kind of wonder where that's going. Like, if there's an endgame for it the way there was with Terrell, or if the plan is just, yeah, she's the Knockouts ref. That's all there is to it. Rob Terry came out. Rob Terry versus Jesse was next. Rob Terry squashed Jesse. 3:04. What are they going to... They've done this with Rob Terry before. They've done the whole thing where Rob Terry is squashing people. And then he gets into real feuds and you don't care because he doesn't sell well. Rob Terry doesn't have a lot of what that it factor is. And that's an issue for me with him, and that's something that TNA needs to work on. They need to get Rob Terry in better condition if they're going to keep pushing him the way they are. I also still think his hair is silly. Jesse was just there as fodder for Rob Terry. Announced team hyped the new Knockouts website. Yay! A website! I mean, I suppose it's big. Apparently it was designed by Chrissy Hemme, so that's cool. But they, you know, it's a website. It's not a big deal. Backstage, Daniels and Kazarian talked to Bobby Roode about reforming Fortune. Now, this is getting kind of odd because it's heels talking about taking out a heel faction, although they're still heels. It's weird and it's odd because you haven't seen Bad Influence in the Aces and Eights interact all that much. So, I don't know. But reforming Fortune, they're planting the seed, so something has to happen with that. And it's kind of weird because it's, again, that second class of heel where it's like, here are the really bad heels and the not-so-bad heels. Now, you should cheer the not-so-bad heels when they're against really bad, but when they're just against good guys, you don't cheer the really bad or not-so-bad or something. I don't know. It's different. It's shades of gray in a bad way. Then we saw a video hyping Chris Sabin's return, and I thought, man, if they did this for every exhibition star, that would be awesome. Chris Sabin is a phenomenally special athlete, though, and TNA knows that. Man, talking about Chris Sabin and Petey Williams, we may be in for a little exhibition fun here, folks. Chris Sabin and Petey Williams, that's a nice combination. So then we got Aries confronting Roode about reforming Fortune. Kind of just some dissension between Roode and Aries as they go into their tag title match. Then we got Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez versus Bobby Roode and Austin Aries for the tag team championships. Okay. Not as good as it was a couple weeks ago. They had a really good match in that 2 out of 3 falls match. That third fall was great. This was not. Pale reflection of what that was, and it involved Bad Influence too getting involved and ultimately costing Roode and Aries the match accidentally as they were trying to help them win. Chavo hit the frog splash for the win. Like I said, not that great. Chavo and Hernandez retained the tag titles, so there are 3 teams in the division, they're all involved in this thing, and that's about it. We don't have another team. The Motor City Machine Guns would be great right about now. Backstage, the camera crew found Matt Morgan and asked him what he thought about Hogan meeting Bully, and Morgan said it would be another mistake. He said he had the solution to the problem and called Hogan out to join him in the ring. Then we had this Hulk Hogan and Matt Morgan chant that would, this Hulk Hogan and Matt Morgan segment that kind of paid off what was going on between Hogan and Morgan for the last few months with Morgan stealing the robe and all that. But it seemed like TNA Creative went, crap, we got to pay this off. All right, let's just get it out of the way. It's not in the plans now. Let's just get through it and move on. Because it was like, you stole the robe and you did this and you did that. Yes, and? That's it. And Hogan basically telling Morgan to man up. Morgan's promos are lacking right now. Morgan is not great on the mic and is not, you know, hasn't had a chance to really do much in the ring. So I feel like the Morgan character isn't in as good of a place as I thought he would be with this much buildup. Sorry, just typing something. Done. Morgan is having, you know, Morgan is in an odd place. That's basically all I can say. I didn't like the segment. It looks like we're leading to Morgan demanding, you know, Morgan demanded a title shot. Hulk said no, basically, but saying, you know, Hogan said he never heard Andre the Giant whine like a bitch. Okay, that's nice. Bully Ray got, you know, ask the aces and eights, you know, give me your word that I won't see you out there tonight. I gotta confront Hulk myself. They keep doing that with Bully Ray, like, hey, let's have him say he doesn't want the guys out there. Weird. Just weird. Then we found out that fans get to pick the X Division competitor who joins the Triple Threat or something next week. It's us being put in control of the draft or TNA's clunky way of counter-programming the NFL draft or something, and our choices are Rashad Cameron, Rockstar Spud, and Suicide. I wonder who's going to be under the mask if it's Suicide. Like, I really wonder if it's Kazarian or Daniels or someone else that they put under that mask. Fourth match of the night, Mickie James versus Velvet Sky for the Knockouts Championship. Mickie James lost this match via roll-up, 10 minutes and 54 seconds. This one did have a commercial break in the middle, and James was kind of the heel for the whole match. She was going after the knee, and the announcers played it up as, oh, well, she's doing what she has to do. It's not vicious. It's just the way that things are. She's a competitor. This is what you expect going in. But James is definitely playing a subtle heel. I think we're going to see that heel turn here pretty soon from Mickie James. Mickie James and Velvet Sky, better than Mickie James and Brooke Tessmacher, which is weird because I think Tessmacher is a better wrestler than Velvet. But James got a good match out of Velvet. It was good, decent. Velvet was selling the knee the whole time. Velvet's selling is not as good as Taryn Terrell's, that's for sure. And this was, Velvet getting an inside cradle, kind of getting lucky while Mickie James was going after the knee to get a win. Bully Ray talked to D-Von, talked about, you know, how great it felt to do the 3D through a table again and all of that stuff. And then he talked about personally ending Hulkamania. And that's the part where I was like, oh, this again. How many feuds to end Hulkamania as Hulk Hogan has? I mean, this dates all the way back to the Alliance to end Hulkamania at, like, that Triple Cage match in 1995. That's how far back ending Hulkamania goes. I think Yokozuna ended Hulkamania at one point. Like, we can keep going back in history, and everyone wants to end Hulkamania. And I know it's going to live forever, brother, but it's a strange goal. And it's not, you know, it's like having power. It's not an important goal at all. So, yeah. I don't know. So we had that backstage, Brooke Hogan found her dad, begged him not to go out to the ring, said, you're going to get beat up. He was taping up his fist and kind of had a, you know, I got to do what I got to do thing going. Then we had our main event segment of the night. It was Bully Ray and Hulk Hogan having a confrontation in the middle of the ring. Basically, the way this went, Bully Ray talked trash to Hulk. Hulk stepped up to Bully Ray. And then it was, oh, here come the aces and eights. The aces and eights are coming out, and they're all going to beat up Hulk Hogan. That's, you know, that was the grand place where this ended. Hulk did hit Bully Ray with the U. Bully no-sold it and hit him with the U. And then they started fighting. Bully Ray was getting beat up a little. This is when the aces and eights came out. Aces and eights stood up. You know, aces and eights surrounded Hulk. Boom. Lights out. Lights come back up. Sting's in the ring pointing the bat at Hulk Hogan. Slowly turns around, points the bat at Bully Ray. And Sting and Hogan clear the ring of the aces and the eights on their own. So it's Sting. And Sting, you know, stuck the bat in Hulk's face at the end of the show and walked away. So Sting kind of is going like, yeah, that's what I can do. So it's, you know, like Fall Brawl 1996 again. Again, I keep pulling out these shows that come to mind when I watch TNA because that's what they're doing. They're recreating these scenarios. I mean, with Sting especially, but they're not actually creating anything new. And I'm not saying it's wrong for a wrestling company to take a story that worked and find a way to retell it. But most of the time, you need to be more imaginative when you do it than use the same characters in very similar circumstances. Yeah. It's frustrating to me. It would be like if The Rock came out and said, I'm going to join Vince McMahon's new corporation and be the corporate champion on WWE. And you were like, wait, what? Didn't I already see this? That's how it feels watching Sting come out with the lights out and point the bat at people and clear a whole faction of people from the ring. Same thing with Hulk just beating people up. It's not entertaining. I know the live crowds may be loving it. I know that TNA... They think they're on a good creative path, and they've done some good things creatively. They've made leaps and bounds, but what I'm saying is that they're using this story as an example of what they can do creatively, and this story, creatively, is a failure. It's not creative. It's not entertaining. The people that have gotten over, Bully Ray has gotten over in this story. Sting was already over. Hulk Hogan was already over, and none of the Aces and Eights are over except for Bully Ray. Where's the character development? Where's the progression? Aside from, well, now we wear vests because we're bikers. Yeah. Unbelievable. It definitely feels like Sting versus Bully Ray is where they're going for Slammiversary, and that scares the hell out of me. Because Sting should not be in that spot. I didn't like this episode of Impact. It was disjointed. It didn't tell good stories. It felt like TNA was spinning its wheels, and I just don't like that. So... That's my review of it. On a more positive note, I do like ProWrestling.net. If you haven't checked it out yet, please go back, listen to myself, Jason Powell, and Chris Shore are doing a special audio on the Barbed Wire City documentary. It's all access. All of you can listen to it. I'm really proud of what we did. I'm really proud to have been a part of it, and I thought it was a really nice discussion on ECW. So that's my final plug. Thank you guys for listening today. Thank you for your support of ProWrestling.net and the All Access podcast. You have a good one, folks.